is now vacated and sent back.
But we do have the vitiation in front of us.
We do, Your Honor.
Let's talk about it for a second.
Yes.
Isn't there a logical inconsistency in the vitiation doctrine?
How so, Your Honor?
We'll think about it a minute. You vitiate because there's a missing literal claim limitation. Of course, that's the definition of the doctrine of equivalence. By definition, you have a missing limitation. How do you know if, when a limitation is missing, the doctrine of equivalence should apply because it's an equivalent, or it shouldn't apply because it's vitiating a literal claim limitation?
I think the distinction to address there, Your Honor, is what's been substituted in place of the missing claim limitation.
Is there anything in our law which gives you any basis for making a neutral determination between application of the vitiation exception to the doctrine of equivalence and the doctrine itself?
Anything in this
in
court's case
law? Court's jurisprudence which clarifies what the standard is for applying the doctrine of equivalence to rectify the missing limitation or to refuse to apply the doctrine of equivalence because there is a missing limitation?
Your Honor,
the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Yes, I know the answer is no.
The answer would
so how do we deal with that? So this, how do we deal with that?
Well, you look for
we
a
have
substitute.
A, I mean, it, the interesting thing is the Supreme Court gave us the vitiation doctrine just when all the rest of us had concluded that it is logically inconsistent and can't be applied. So what do we do with it?
Well, you do what I think this court has said you do. You look to see if there has been something else substituted for the missing element in the claim that's not exactly the same as the claim requires, not literally what the claim requires, but is there something else there that's doing that function? And if there is, Your Honor, you can try to balance. Well, you can give examples. If they're not threads, for example, Your Honor, maybe there are ratchets. All right? Maybe there were ratchets there and not threads that were there to press the rod down. One could reasonably then sit there and say, okay, well, we've substituted a ratchet where there was a thread required. Well, maybe there's some room for the doctrine of equivalence to apply there. But, Your Honor, when you've got nothing that's been added to...
Why not stick with what the Supreme Court did give us in Festo, which is a foreseeability test, and tell us that, and we can look to see if it would have been foreseeable to have so stated your claim limitation so as to have avoided the necessity of the doctrine of equivalence in the first place.
Your Honor, we would encourage you to embrace the foreseeability test as the determining factor here, and here's why. If somebody says threads stop at a certain point, they get to pick wherever that point is. It's certainly foreseeable that they could have said thread stop above, thread stop below, thread stop right at the rod. It's hard to conceive how an applicant writing this claim or his attorney couldn't have foreseen, because also, Your Honor, recognized when the claim was originally presented, there were no limitations on where the thread started or stopped. Then they went about picking a point that they said, okay, the threads have to go at least to here. Well, they could have said it here, here, or there. So from a foreseeability test, Your Honor, certainly we believe that that is a good way to certainly view the facts in this case.